Okay. Turn to the book of Job. Number 52 in our series of what's in the Old Testament for us, not to us. It's not written to us, but it is there for us. A lot of people will go to the book of Job and they'll read it and they'll think it's like written to them. And they'll act like they're Jobians. Or Jobites. Or Jobbers. And it's not. What, the way God treated Job, or allowed the devil to treat Job, certainly doesn't mean he's going to do that to us. He's going to allow the devil to get in there and smack us around and stuff to prove a lesson. But we also know that God gave us the Bible, and God isn't going to step in. He's going to put the Bible there, and if we want to read the scriptures that are written to us, we will know how to respond to what the devil does in this world. But it isn't because God has turned you over to the devil. I would have to say, who do you think you are? To do that, because Job was a righteous man. It says there that, look at verse 1, chapter 1. Verse 1, he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And eschewed means he shunned, he stayed away from it. If you're perfect and you're upright and you fear God and you stay away from all evil, then you can put yourself in Job's shoes. Not that you really want to. But we've got online 12 pages of a written Bible study that takes you through Job very, very detailed. There's three different sets of speeches from these guys, and they're divided up. Very, very, it makes a lot of sense. Job is a very orderly book, but you just don't see that when you just read from the beginning to the end. But if you get an outline from it about these three friends that talk to him, it helps you see what's going on. Then you see Job's replies. That's a lot of the book of Job, back and forth with his friends. And then when the three friends are done with him, there's a fourth friend, and that's Elihu. And he's got some interesting things to say. So there's actually four characters in this thing along with Job. And if you want to read that sort of stuff and study it, I mean, it's there. There's a Bible study there that will help you see Job probably better than you ever have. We need to put rubber extenders on the bridge there as we all get older. Those little bridge things you put between the bridge and the concrete that helps expansion. LD, can you do that? You're the wood man. You and Lewis, you're the wood guy there. Of course, there's going to be some compensation here, because as you get certain older, then you start losing the weight. So there's probably balancing out there. And I'm really in trouble. We'll just drop it and go on. I'll clear that out this afternoon when I go for these things. And then there's some observations in here made by that Haley's Handbook thing. And, you know, I got to make a point. Haley's Handbook is very interesting as far as historical things, but as soon as they put an observation in there or some kind of a comment, you drop it. Because there's a lot of that now. The new Haley's especially is built on modern translations, and some of their conclusions are pretty crummy. One of them, they said, was because Job says that God is done to the wicked and all that kind of stuff. Then the Haley's Handbook comment was annihilation, and that isn't what God said at all. So, for those on the website, or if you pull up these notes, I've taken all that stuff out of there and just put in the actual historical facts and that sort of a thing. And so it makes it a very interesting study. We looked at the book of Job because we think it's a good place to turn for our horrible life, but we don't even come close to Job. We don't come close to the tribulation. And so we really don't need to turn to Peter as much as we do, and we don't need to turn to Job, because we're just not getting hammered like Job and the guys in Peter. You know, that's tribulation stuff. We just don't have that happening. There, it's a little crooked. There we go. Pull it back a little bit. There, you got it right there. Okay. Stuff like that. It's one of those. I know there's a medical thing they call that, but what'd you do? You just messed it up, Donna.
We got more than we wanted.
I don't care. It's always the ladies that rebel against the pastor. Okay. whichever one you want to do now. You know, you're the caller now. But there is some, so if you want to read what these guys said to Job about why they think he's having happened, what happened, because I think you've all read the story here and about what he lost and he was such a good guy and the devil going up and talking to God, and I think most of us know that kind of a story. If you don't, obviously read it. So I pulled out just a few things that I thought we'd look at, and let's go to chapter 21. So if you want a complete Bible study on the book of Job, it's online. I'll make you copies if you want. LD's got one. If you want to get some sense out of Job more than just reading that sort of a thing. Boy, there's some good ways God puts things in here, the way God states it. Chapter 21, verse 7. If you might have this thing marked, chapter 21, verse 7. That isn't the one I wanted, but here we go. It's well, maybe there's some other things here. I'm just waiting for these late folks to come in and sit down here. God will get you. We're reading about Job too. Actually, I meant 73. Turn to chapter 73. I don't have a pencil. I thought I got one, but I'll put it right here. I got it. 73. 73. I'm sorry, that's Psalms. Go back to Job here. That's why I probably want Job. Yeah, that's right, Job 21. That's right. I was looking at Psalm 21. Boy, that is not what I want. Yeah, I'll block all that out of there. So all you guys know that I'm dingy this morning. I make myself sound much better on the internet. A little echo to the voice and the depth and, you know, stuff like that. Here we go. The way of the wicked prospering. Here's what I was going to show you here. We tend to think this sometimes. I hope we don't anymore. But we look out in the lost world and we see what Job is whining about here. Wherefore, verse 7, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? They get better and better. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. That means their children behave better. They follow their parents better. They grow up to be better, and that sort of a thing. And we see that with the lost world out there, and I'm afraid if we have trouble within our own homes, that most often we're going to be like Job. Lord, why is it I'm King James, I'm rightly dividing, I'm Paul, how come my home is such a mess? Or how come my kids are not doing what they need to be doing? How come our kids, when they grow up, they leave? And here it says their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Why is not God chastising, punishing, beating, burning their house down, killing their children? I'm King James. I'm rightly dividing. I go to church all the time. I love our pastor. Stuff like that. They're bull generous and faileth not. I mean, they everything seems to work well. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. I mean, the children just enjoy life. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. Notice that the lost world is just hugely caught up in music, just horribly caught up in music. But then you also got to notice that in the last few years, Christianity has gone bonkers with music. There's just music everywhere. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their... I like verse 11 because it says, and their children dance. I mean, look at all the dances. I remember in Idaho, the Mormons, who are real strong with their standards and stuff, had a Michael Jackson dance one time back at Pocatello, Idaho. They advertised Michael Jackson, and they were going to play all of his albums. I thought, boy, what? Why would they do something like that? So... that's what the world does with their children, and they laugh. They think it's cute and funny when your little bitty kids are, you know, you can test a piece of music, just play it to your little child, the little bitty ones, little, really little bitty, even a little bittier than Amanda. She's looking for the spot. That's good. She's looking for Joe. That's good. So I like to see the kids doing that instead of sitting there drawing pictures of their dog and their dad and mom and how they fight and everything. You know? 13, they spend their days in wealth. and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. This is the way the world, the wicked world lives. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They flat go against God. They say, we do not want to live the way you want us to live. We will spend our days in wealth, and someday they'll die like everybody else. The kids dance at the organ. The music is a big deal. The little ones like a flock. They all stay together, and everything is so successful. You know, that just sounds like a Christian today. It truly does. We want to be successful. We want our children to be happy. We want them to have friends. There's that flock stuff. We're full of music. Now, you can't watch a video or TV of the music influencing our children. That's why the sermon part two, music that hurts. Why can't we turn it off? They spend their days in wealth. Christians have to buy stuff, buy. We get into as much debt as anybody else out there. See, the Christians are supposed to know better. And we're supposed to not do what they do out there. And go down to the grave. So will we. Someday we're going to realize that we've blown it with our desires and the debt we have. And it's sad to say, but depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What are God's ways today? Paul. It's very simple. So we can apply for us what Job is saying here. We can't say that that is to us, because what God's talking about, his ways, what Job talks about, God's ways, is the Old Testament law. So we have to recognize that. But if we can apply that to ourselves as a Christian, that tells us a lot about the wicked world, and do we find ourselves doing the same thing? And I would have to stand up there and say, yes, we do. So there's one thing we can get out of there. Look at chapter 16, verse 5. Again, just read the whole book of Job. I've got the notes that will help you study Job and really make sense of that whole thing. Because it is. If you read Job slowly and know who's talking and how they're responding back to what one of the other ones said, it's a very interesting book. I think it's funny because it takes place in the land of Uz, which is just one letter off of the Oz. It's just stuff like that. It's just amazing things. Job 16:5. This is just a nice verse. But I will strengthen you with my mouth, and the movement of my lips that assuages your grief. Strengthen with our mouth. How do we strengthen ourselves today with our mouth? I mean, it's Bible. Know your Bible. Know what to say with your Bible. There's a bunch of verses that just stand out that would be good for us to hear and for us to read. And I look at it this way. This is how God talks. That's what I like about Job and the whole Bible. That's King James Bible. That's the way God puts it. I just see what's going on in the world today in Christianity, in my own life, etc., etc. And every now and then I run across a verse that, man, you can't say it any better than that. And I like that. I like to see that sort of a thing. So with that in mind, let's go to chapter 3. And here's what I have for you this morning. Probably we got a couple other little things here. Probably haven't got time to do it all. But if we want to get something out of Job that's not to us, but is something for us, we can learn from Job how to whine King James style. I mean, he can't say it any better than Job when he's whining. So if you're having a rough day, or if you think God's getting at you, or your children are ruining your life, or you've got no friends, and your kids got no friends, and all this kind of a thing, boy, get out Job, and he'll whine for you better than you ever could. It's God talk, King James talk whining, King James style. Look, for example, chapter 3, verse 1. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. So you have a lousy day, here you go. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. And what did we say? Oh, I wish I wasn't born. And look at how he puts it. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined into the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Now, that's just really neat talk. This is quality whining. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse that day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? He's first class here. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain still and been quiet, and should have slept, then had I been at rest, with kings and counselors of the earth which built desolate places for themselves, or the princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery and life, and unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig it for more than hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged it? I like that one. Why can't I see anything out of my Bible? Why? God must just hate me. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming to me. That's me right there, because for years I've been saying I'm going to die. And you know, one of these days, I'm going to be right. I'm going to get sick, I'm going to die, I'm going to get old, and no offense, and I've always been afraid of that. And it's happening. I've always been right. But I've wasted a lot of years worrying about that kind of a thing. So I like that. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that, it's like going to the dentist. There's a day coming. Oh, boy. Or just recently, there's a day coming. You know, so I knew I was going to have to do that. Yeah, 40 years ago I knew that. It's just crazy. And I was afraid of his come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You know it's coming. You just know it's coming. He's a first-class whiner. Look at chapter 10. Wish I would have memorized Job chapter 3 sometime and started whining like that. And people be impressed with your whine at work. Here we go. We're just going to keep up the negative feeling this morning. So if you're having a lousy day, I hope I ruin it for you today, because this is how you whine. This out there in the web world, this is how you whine. None of us have come close to whining like Job. Job. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. Isn't that where the buck stops here? Isn't that kind of what that might be there? Anyway, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, you are one bitter person. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldst oppress? Do you enjoy God the way you're treating me this morning? I hope you're enjoying this. You ever get that way? Maybe not about God, but your husband or wife or your kids or the kids to the parents. I sure hope you're having a good day the way you're treating me. And shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after my iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked. And, whoa, can you say that? Can in your little whines, can you say, well, you know I didn't do anything wrong today? And why are you treating me like that? I did really good today. I was really good at school today. Mom, why are you treating me like that? You ever? Probably not. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. That's a parent one. That's a good for a kid to a parent, too. You're the ones that had me, okay? You're the ones that fed me, taught me the whole thing. So don't complain what you came up with. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? See? I'm still learning, but you're wrecking me. You're ruining. Your testimony, your example to me is wrecking me. What's the matter with you folks? Hast thou not poured me out? I like this one. Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Just try that one. Memorize the verse when it's the right moment and you're mad at your parents or your boss or something. Just say, what? You think I'm cottage cheese or what? What is cottage cheese? Just milk that sat around, got old, and chunked up. And how can we eat that? How do we eat that stuff when it does that? They must put something in it to make it edible. I don't either. Well, I do too. I had it once last night. I know why. This is curdled milk. Why did we enjoy that? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh. Well, thank you very much. And hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine enemies, from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witness against me, and increasest thine indignation. There's that word, Jimmy. Indignation. Upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I like that one. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Oh, this guy is just on fire. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone that I may take comfort a little. You probably put that in your door trip in your room. Are not my days few? Isn't that how some people at the nursing home, I bet, feel? Just put me in this room, shut the door, and just get out of here. You know? Behold, before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Well, he's first class. Good stuff there. Oh, well, you add now. Okay, 31, chapter 31. Job may have had reason because he had everything and lost everything, but a very materialistic man in some of those ways, but we have no reason to ever whine like Job. We really don't. That thing about our iniquities been taken care of, the sins have been washed away, not imputed again. If we whine and cry, it's because we're selfish, because we've lost some things that we want, earthly, or parenting, or children, or whatever. But it certainly isn't because of what God has done, because God has allowed us to reap what we sow. If there's something going on within your family, your personal, your children, or your parenting, or at work, or whatever, you must have something to do with it. And if you didn't, so what? You know? You're probably working in the system that hates God. When I was a public school teacher, the system hates God. I mean, they don't want God in the building. So the system's going to reap what it was sowing. I tried to do my best as a Christian teacher, but sometimes they just didn't get it. They didn't allow it. They were not happy with me. Principal came in one time and had me come to his office. He said, "Now, Mike, what does hellfire and brimstone have to do with music class today?" And I said, "Mel, we're doing the Hallelujah Chorus. We're doing the Messiah." It was Christmas time, Christmas or Easter time. And he said, "You can't do that in the classroom." I said, "Mel, I can. The film strip is yours. It belongs to the school district. I'm just playing this thing. And he said, "We have that?" I said, "Yes, this is your material." Didn't say anything to the kids about hellfire and brimstone. It happens to be in there. That's all it is. I'm just helping them understand the music and that other. So guess what was not in the school supplies next year? Yeah. But I got a copy of it before they did, because I knew he was going to do something about it. So the world just doesn't want to hear it. Look at 31, chapter 31, verse 1. Now, we don't have to do this because we're, you know, the time we're living in. But Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a mate?" You know, you're walking around town, everything, and the way women are dressed today, a man with self-control or within the home or whatever, tell your eyes, "And it's a covenant with my eyes." It's a weird thing. We ought to make a covenant with our mouth or make a covenant with our ears and say, "Listen, mouth, you are not going to say anything until I have thought about it and thought about it and rethought about it. And then if you think you can say something that's going to make some value to it, go ahead and speak it. It's a covenant with your mouth. Make a covenant with your eyes. And we know that God, that's not Paul preaching, but it's not a bad idea. You know? Covenant with your hands, okay? Hands, only do, make a covenant with your instrument. I just want to play God's music on there. Well, you know that's not going to happen because you play some notes. Just anything. So we don't want to get caught up in the Old Testament style, but there's an example there. You know, make a covenant with your hand that it will never do this. Or this or whatever. Or, you know, whatever. I mean, just, it's a neat thing that Job does there, but for what it is. Let's go to chapter 29. Let's see if this is what I think it is here. I might have done this one a little bit too quickly here. This is whining, but from a more specific group of people. This is like older people. I don't know why, I just always, I could look over here too, but I just, it's here, I don't know. And it's not that he's getting old, but there are people younger than him having him in derision, it says there. And you know what, young people, we're to the point where we can look down at young people, watch them treat us differently. We were the ones that were always treating some of you folks differently. But now it's coming to us, and your day's coming. You take care of your grandpa and grandma, because someday you're going to be a grandpa and grandma. We're going to be worm baiting the whole deal while you're doing all that. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing from the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste. Chapter 30. 30? 30. I said 29. 29 and 30. Okay, yeah, 30. 29. We'll go back to 29. Okay. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, and the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter. Boy, I tell you, doesn't that sound good? And everywhere this guy went, he had butter. And the rock poured me out of rivers of oil. This guy was good in the kitchen. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and did and hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. I mean, you had arrived. The princes refrained talking and lay their hands on their mouths. There's another way of doing your mouth thing. Sometimes do that. You know, it'll work. The nobles held their peace and the tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eyes saw me, it gave witness to me. Now remember, Job was upright, perfect. So he was respected. I mean, he misses that. Now, that's why I don't say this is necessarily an old chapter, but an old person can look at this, and I remember the days when, you know, when I could actually jump off the ground, you know, and run. Remember running as hard as you could and being panting because of you ran 10 miles as compared to the refrigerator? You know, stuff like that. I mean, 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Now we, Jerry, me, Bob, and we're going to get to an age someday where we're going to wish we were back knowing what we already do. Knowing what we've learned, understanding with a little bit of wisdom I'm hoping in there, we wish we were back in those days when we could do stuff and do something with what we've learned. So that's a good chapter. That's a good chapter. Look at verse 21. I the whole thing. We're back to 14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. He made the right decisions. 15. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I mean, he went looking for ways to help. And I break the jaws of the wicked, and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. That's a good one. Go out there and whirl and hammer him, and then get what you can out of him, kind of a deal. Then I said, I shall die in my nest. So they didn't have nursing nests in those days. They had home nests. That's where you die in my nest, in my home, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. You ever had anybody ask a question, and then they don't listen for the answer? That's happened to me. That's happened in this Sunday school class, not to me, but to somebody else. Somebody, I won't even give you the details. Somebody asked somebody a question, and when he was answering the question, they got up and left the room. This goes back a number of years. I responded later with an action on that one. But it's just weird. Your kids ever ask you questions, and then you know their ears are just plugged. You know? After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as the rain. Boy, don't you wish that your kids... Sean, I want you to hear this. Don't you wish that the kids were waiting for you like rain? Because when there's a drought and you're just begging for rain, and the kids just, oh, I just wish mom and dad would come home. I want to ask them things. I want them to teach me. Oh, rain upon me, Dad. Verse 23, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. It's like a robin, a baby robin in the tree, and the mommy flies up with all this junk in her beak, and the kids are just going, and that's the way this is. They just want to be fed by their parents. Teach me, teach me. Oh, their mouth may be open wide today, but it isn't to receive anything. It's usually the other direction. If I laughed on them, they believed it not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Boy, that'd be something. Those were the good old days, I guess. And you can read 30 and do the same thing, too. Look at verse 9, chapter 30. Because see, now it goes the other way. No, 30. Chapter 30, verse 9. And it says, and now I am their song. Now they talk about me. Yea, I am their byword. They abhor me. They flee far from me and spare not to spit in my face. Really? Really? You guys have done that? You girls have done that to your parents? Have you spit in their face?
Maybe.
May not physically, but... Oh, yeah. You've never complained about your parents to each other without mom and dad knowing about it? Shawnee, do you know what Dad said the other day? I'll tell you, Dad just bugs me. I'd spit on his face if I could. Probably not to that extent. Doesn't some zit come out when you do that? That's spitting. Yep. 12. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. Boy, if you're an older person, here, 29 to 30, these are some good whining chapters. Look at verse 21. Thou art become cruel to me. And boy, you don't want to have to think this way when you're in the wheelchair and they're pushing. Because you have nothing to do about it. And I think about that when I was pushing Margaret down at the nurse home once in a while. I'll push some people, and I realize that, you know, even that, you've got to sit back and trust your pusher. I would really have a hard time. If any of you folks, some of you folks specifically, if I'm in a situation that I can't do anything and I have to be wheeled around here, boy, I don't know. You've got to, because I thought of that because I went down the ramp pretty quick Friday. And I got to think, I wonder how she's doing. I can't see her face. You know, one of those kind of things. But she did well. You really got to give yourself over to the pusher. That's a strange thing. Or if you're on crutches and you got to check the guy next to you, you want to make sure it's not Jerry. Because you're going to see that crutch going out. Of course, you wouldn't do something like that. Let's go to chapter 27. I mean, there are things in Job that are just good for an example and such. Chapter 27. What do they say? Be good to your parents. No, be good to your kids because they pick your nursing home or something like that. I don't want a nursing home. I want to be in the home. Doc! David, get over here. I got something else I need. Whoa, Dad. Just, you know. 27:1. This is where I've got down here to stand strong. Verse 2. As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. And he's saying, I don't care what's happening to me, I am not going to give in. That is a great thing for us older folks and those that are even beyond my olderness. That just don't give up. And I'm going to mark this verse when I am 64. Remember that, because I'm going to... It's our generation, Gary and Bob, that we're going to that 64 thing. There's some meaning to that thing, I think. I just think there's something demonic about when I'm 64, because there's something going on there. So I've got a few years yet. Let's look at chapter 23. And I call this Job's foxhole promises. I don't know. There's just something 60. When we hit 64, I can't even imagine. No offense. How far was 64? Like a long time ago, right? Yeah, 64, 74. Long time ago. I won't live that long with the food I've been eating. Job 23, look at verse 3. All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. He would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute. Run out of time. I keep reading through that chapter, and you'll see where he kind of makes some promises. That if God would just... Kind of a deal. So we got to get past that. And I want to get up to chapter 38. Go to chapter 38. Here's probably the best thing we can get out of Job, in my estimation anyway. Chapter 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42. 38 to 42. Because this is where God speaks. And if you want to learn about who God is and how he deals with this thing with Job, because Job is complaining. Obviously, he started off fighting it well, but he really got running out of time or running out of strength. And he never did falter, but boy, he did fall off the cliff, but he was close. Not that his friends helped him any, but he was. And God comes back with him and says, Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And here it goes. I'd like to think that that's where we as parents or fathers could read that and present that to our kids or whatever when they're complaining. But unfortunately, none of us dads are anywhere near like God. We've botched so many things in our life that we can't stand up and say this to our children. But boy, this is what God says to us. If we think we're having a hard time and we think God is not being fair, you think he gave you the wrong kids or the wrong husband or the wrong lifestyle or the wrong health or whatever that we complain about, chapters 38 to 42 is what God would say to you if you were talking to him face to face. So read 38 to 42 whenever you really feel like whining, because he really has some good things to say there. To me, it's a lot like when you read the New Testament. If you read the Gospels and you read Hebrews and James and everything, but when you read Paul's books, you zero in, because that's what's to you. When you read Job, but when you get to 38 to 42, zero in, because that's where you hear from God. And it's just very interesting stuff if you purposely realize this is God speaking to a man who's complaining. So there's just some stuff in there that Job is so full of. Does anybody here have any verses circled in Job that just or a verse for you that you've ever, that you like? Anybody got notes in Joel that you've done as you read? Anybody? You got something there? But, I mean, anything? Nobody's got any underlines? What? Nothing that says, I wish Jimmy would read this. None of those kind of notes, but I mean... 39? Wait a minute, Lewis. We got to pick on Dana just a minute here. Hang on. Chapter 39, verse 19. Hast thou given the horse strength? You really like that Song of Solomon stuff, didn't you, about the horse? And you started it. Does everybody know that it was her that came up with all the right things about a horse? So it's really her fault. Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? What do you think, Jimmy? She got a neck of thunder?
Sometimes.
Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not afraid. That's encouraging stuff. That'd be the right kind of horse. That's good. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Boy, Jimmy, if he's claiming these verses, I would probably stay at work a little longer. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off and the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Doth the hawk, hey kids, here's one. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom? No, the hawk knows what's going on. Anyway, that's good. Lewis, what'd you say? 28:28. This is what your Bible is all about, is getting things that encourage you. Or, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Yep. You're getting it when you say no to evil. And what was it that Job said? What was it? What one of the characteristics of Job? He eschewed evil. I think that's how you say it. Eschewed. He shunned it. He stayed away from it. He had understanding. He knew what would happen if he goes there. If we could even be something like Job, it'd be all right. Okay, Elder, you were the next one.
I had 28 things, but he had it more. I read several
of them. Yep. John, Chuck?
Yeah. I had one that kind of linked the devil into psychology here, and Paul talks about we should avoid psychology.
Yep.
Job 2:4 says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that man has, will be given for his life. And it's like the devil has all the man figured out.
He does.
Yeah. That's psychology.
Right. The only thing that keeps us from being like the world in our psychology is this Bible. That's the only thing. And we've seen an awful lot of psychology filtering into Bible teaching. And to stick to the book only all by itself, I still believe would solve everything. I just think it would. Okay, we're done. Oh, well, go ahead. What? Somebody has something? Got that one. What, Joel, what? 22:25, and this is Mark, I bet. Who? Evers, okay. 22:25.
Divided day, verse 25. I remember a message about believing God, and you will have plenty of money. It doesn't say who wrote it, it's just there.
But it's the commandments, right?
Yes.
Beck, I didn't teach you that. But it does say, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver.
26:13-14.
26 what?
13-14.
You really thought that verse meant that?
That's what you think it now.
I'm sorry, LD, what again?
26:13-14.
By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed a crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? And that thunder is your neck. Who can understand? It's strength. And you get these macho men with their neck is bigger than their ears out here, you know, I mean, wider than their ears because it's all muscle, whatever. It's when you go to a store or something, and the clerk lady comes up and she's got this neck muscle that could eat you alive. That's one of those things. But that just comes by exercising the lips and the cheeks, and then goes to your throat. And so just keep going, and it'll get stronger and stronger. I'm in trouble. Okay, we'll stop for a couple minutes.